This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 basketball-centric podcast. I got Grayson Grunhafer on the line. Man, I nailed it. First time I got your name right. I'm excited. Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Well, listen.
No doubt you got that one.
Yeah, I'm in Florida, Grayson. I'm doing some reconnaissance work for the upcoming matchup of Ole Miss and Baylor Friday night, and thought it would be a wise idea to come early and just kind of check the place out, you know, make sure everything was fine from an atmosphere standpoint so that the Bears would be ready to roll Friday night. So
yeah,
I know
sure that's exactly what you're doing up there.
Yes. So I know we need to talk about this matchup, but any thoughts on your mind to start? I know you've been diligent studying these two teams, and what are your thoughts on this matchup Friday night versus Ole Miss?
Well, I mean, first of all, the level of competition is going up through the roof with Ole Miss. Ole Miss is way better than the teams Baylor played the first four games. And in particular, they have one really, really good guard. And two, that both can put the ball in the basket. But one, Terrence Davis is by far their best player. And he is an absolute beast. I don't think this will last, but right now I believe he's shooting like 65% from three. And he's averaging 22.5 points. So he's definitely the guy to keep an eye on. But they also have another really good guard, Brian Tyree, who's averaging 15.5. So two really good guards that can put the ball in the basket. Neither one passes the ball that well. They're kind of just looking to score each time they get the ball. And it's going to be a test, though, to see if this Baylor defense can hold those guys in check at least a little bit.
Yeah, they're, in a lot of ways, this is a team that mirrors Baylor. They're guard-centric. They are really good from the three-point line. I happened to watch them play Nichols State tonight. They won by 20. They did a lot of half-court trapping, so they tried to speed Nichols State up and turn them over. They like to get out there and trap the guards in the corners, kind of like we do. So there's a lot of similarities in these teams. They don't have – they have three guys four guys over 6'7" that they play. Blake Henson, who's a freshman, he's 6'7", 210. Bruce Stevens, a big body at 6'8", 250. And then they've got a Dominique, we'll just call him Dominique O, a 7-footer. He's got a name that's hard to pronounce. And then KJ Buffin is a freshman at 6'7", 220. So they don't have a lot of size. Their strength is clearly the backcourt. They play eight guys, significant minutes. So it's going to be an interesting matchup and one that we should have a good advantage at the point guard position if Mekhi Mason's able to play and play well. But then when you look at their wings, you know, Terrence Davis is as good as it gets. I mean, he's an all-SEC type of guard and certainly one that's I'm sure Scott Drew's game plan is going to be centered on slowing him down.
Yeah, absolutely. Much like the Nichols State game trying to shut down Jefferson, which they did a pretty good job of. They're going to – obviously, Terrence is a better version of that. But, it'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on. He's going to get Baylor some problems, I think, in this game. He's going to score some. So the question is, can Baylor make him shoot a high volume, which he is susceptible to, at least 2 months last year. But one note, the Blake Henson kid you mentioned, he actually had an offer from Baylor to play tight end. I thought that was kind of an interesting note.
Right.
He had a Baylor offer to play tight end and, of course, decided to go play basketball at Ole Miss. But when I looked at their roster and saw him on there, I completely forgot he went to Ole Miss. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Is he playing both sports? He's not. He's only playing basketball, right?
Yeah, he's just playing basketball there, but he was a pretty dang highly touted football recruit too, but a little higher touted for basketball. But Tristan Clark should have an advantage down low against anyone he sees in this game, and so it'll be interesting to see if they can get him the ball early and get him involved and if he can stay out of foul trouble.
So KenPom has this game as a predicted score of Baylor 73, Ole Miss 71, as of the moment that we do this podcast. The matchups are pretty even on the offensive side of the ball. Baylor's rated 51st in the country in offensive efficiency. Mississippi's 56. Baylor's defense is 59th, and Mississippi's defense is 122. So I think that's where the advantage would be, is that perhaps Baylor's a little stronger on the defensive end. We'll know Friday night. You know, the big thing that Ole Miss does, surprisingly, and actually Baylor's struggle with this some too, is both teams turn the ball over a little more than you would expect from a guard-centric lineup. Now, of course, we haven't seen Makai Mason as much this year, so hopefully that'll be a strength, and he'll be very steady and won't make bad turnovers. But that's something to look out for in this game.
Yeah, that is really interesting that they both have to turn over. I also noticed, you know, one thing about Ole Miss is that they don't really have a guy that's really creating a whole lot for anyone else, and
right.
I think that's going to play a big part in this game. I think Makai Mason's going to be able to create for a lot of guys and maybe get easier shots, where I think Ole Miss is kind of going to rely a little bit too much on the, you know, the volume one-on-one scoring. And they do that a lot. And so I'm curious if Baylor can play good defense and not give up easy buckets and, you know, contest every shot. If they can do that, they should be able to win this game. They really should.
Right. Did you guys record the Fast Friday podcast tonight? Is that what I saw you mention in our text exchange?
Yeah, I did. I was filming that today with Craig because
Thanksgiving coming up, obviously. So you probably haven't had a chance to look at some of the other basketball scores from tonight, correct?
I did not. I saw Duke was in a close game with Auburn. I saw they won, but I didn't see anything else. I know Iowa State was in a battle. They
ended up winning. Iowa State ended up winning big. Duke won 78-72, and they shot 34 free throws to Auburn's 9. That's almost Kansas-like treatment from the free throw line there. But we've got a good one going on right now, Gonzaga, Arizona. But the one that Baylor fans will probably most be interested in is that TCU now is at full strength. They had Jalen Fisher and Kuat Noai back, and they hosted the mighty Lipscomb Bisons. And, you know, Lipscomb just went in there and did just what they did to SMU. They beat them. They ended up beating them by 9 points, I believe, 73-64. So they gave TCU their first loss of the season. Of probably many more to come.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
that's a big loss. Lipscomb's a good program, but wow.
Yeah,
surprising.
Lipscomb's a team that was rated outside the top 100, so that's going to be a loss. Like Baylor's lost to Texas Southern, that's probably going to haunt the Horned Frogs all year. Just an interesting note. And then the other one going on right now is Texas Tech is up on Nebraska, 36-34. As of the recording of this podcast, but I was just curious if you had been watching some holiday hoops.
I hadn't seen that, but I did see Tech down. I think they were down double digits yesterday. They came back and won by like 18 over USC.
So, yeah.
That was an interesting one.
No doubt. Yeah, they're going to be pretty good. I thought so far Iowa State and Texas Tech are the two teams that are better than I expected them to be. And, you know, I would say as far as teams, everyone else in the Big 12 is about as I expected. Of course, West Virginia's dropped a couple, you know, so they're a team that may be not as good as expected. But Iowa State, I think when they're at full strength, because they're missing four guys right now, they're gonna be a handful. They've got skill, they've got size, if they get everybody back. And then, of course,
they can flat out score.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
missing their, in my opinion, their best scorer, Lindell Wiggins.
Oh, yeah.
And their best defensive player was Solomon.
Yep, and then Cameron Lard also. So they're missing some big pieces right now. That's tough.
They're going to be good, though. They're going to be good. And I think, you know, Kate State's one that I think is underperforming a little bit compared to where I thought they were going to be. I know they're winning, but they haven't looked impressive to me. And I think Iowa State's depth is going to be huge for them. I think they're the biggest threat to Kansas, honestly, this year.
Right. Yes, I would agree. So if Baylor wins, let's hope we win on Friday. But if they do win, then they're going to play the winner of Cincinnati, George Mason. And, you know, most people would think that that's going to be Cincinnati. Cincinnati's predicted by KenPom to be a 73-65 victor over George Mason. It's a team that's pretty good defensively, like most Mick Cronin teams are, but they've struggled a little bit on the offensive end. They're 3-1. They went to Ohio State and lost 64-56, and then they've had some pretty comfortable wins against some more regional teams. North Carolina Central is not regional, but Milwaukee and Western Michigan they beat solidly. So that's on the slate for Saturday night. So if we lose, obviously we're going to get the loser of that game, but we'll get two games one way or the other.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Cincinnati, like you said. The best way to cure that Texas Southern loss is to go play the better team. I think Baylor really needs to at least get the opportunity to play Cincinnati because that helps your RPI either way. Baylor really needs to take care of the first one, and then if you get to play Cincinnati, that'll be a really tough test, but it'll be a really good game as far as strength of schedule and RPI goes. So definitely hoping that matchup happens. Cincinnati is a typical Cincinnati team. They have one guy, Jaron Timberland, averaging 18 a game, and then they have a bunch of guys that average 9 a game. It's the typical Cincy team, play good defense, and then, have a bunch of guys that score and then rely on your one guy to get you over the hump.
Right. Well, and of course, these are... Right, and these are the last two games without Mario Kegler. So the good news is next week, as the Bears return home to play South Dakota, they'll be at full strength, hopefully, assuming Mekhi Mason's healthy, everybody's healthy. They should be at full strength next year, and we can really get an idea of what this team's going to look like. You know, obviously, it's probably going to take Kegler a few games to round into form, but he's going to have to get into form quick because you've got South Dakota, and then you turn around and play at Wichita State, which is going to be a real challenge to go on the road and try to get a road victory there. So the schedule's about to get very interesting.
The good news is Wichita State doesn't look like the normal Wichita State. That game is still winnable. But, a road game against Wichita State, and then, a few games later you go to Arizona, which I know Arizona lost to Iowa State, but that is not going to be a pushover at Arizona. That's going to be a really tough game.
Oh, yeah.
So they got opportunities to make up that Texas Southern loss, and hopefully Kegler can get into shape really quick. But, he's been with Baylor for, a whole year now. So you would think he would kind of fit in pretty easily.
Yeah, you would think so. Well, listen, I know we have some more hoops to talk about after this game Friday night, but we just want to do a preview of the upcoming matchup. So we'll be back at it after the Friday night action. And we'll do a wrap-up podcast. This has been a Sikkim 365 preview podcast of Ole Miss and Baylor. Thank you to all our sponsors. Thank you to Barnett's Pub. Thank you to Wright House Realty. Thank you to the Baylor Club. Thank you to Brazos Parking. Thank you to Wade Barrow Law. Who am I leaving out, Grayson? Three Nations. I mean, we have a lot that have helped us. So, thank you to all of our great partners and what we do. And have a great night.